Join myself and Rabbi Bazak for some holiday escapade, adventures, experiences and tips. The Dadding Podcast, Give Me a Break, Holiday Special. Welcome back to Dadding, the podcast, Give Me a Break, Special Holiday Edition. I'm Rabbi Fine.
And I'm Rabbi Bazak.
Welcome back, everyone. Right, we've alluded a particularly important philosophical issue on holidays, Rabbi Bazak, which is, are you an aisle person or a window person?
I am personally an aisle person, but I totally understand window people. I think it's dependent on sleep, but the thing is that we've been through before that I consider sleeping one of my talents, and therefore I don't really need a window seat to sleep. I can sleep in an aisle, sleep no problem, and I just warn the people inside of me, if I'm by myself, normally with my kids, but I warn the people inside of me that they should just, because you're always in that awkward position of when the guy in the aisle sleeps and then the people want to get out.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah, so I just tell them, just climb over. Just don't bother, or wake me up. It doesn't bother me in the slightest because I'll just go straight back to sleep.
Can you go to sleep in the middle seat and not lean on anyone?
Yeah, I'm going to sleep anywhere.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's like a really useful talent for a rabbi to have.
Can you fall asleep in your own sermon?
No, not normally actually, but
I bet some could.
I can't believe some can't. Some of them.
I think the crux of the matter is the aisle seat is good for the legs, but the window seat is good for the shoulder.
I think that's the debate. But then when you have kids, of course, it doesn't make any difference because kids are going to be climbing on you, sleeping on the floor, sleeping across you.
I forget it.
So it's not even worth it. Yeah. It's not even worth it. It's not even worth being pedantic about it.
Yeah, I actually wanted to invent. I didn't tell you this story before. I wanted to invent. You know when you're stuck behind the food carriage?
Yes.
It's like being stuck behind temporary traffic lights when you're driving, right? It's terrible.
Same experience.
And you can't get through.
Yeah.
And they come on if there's.
Well,
two...
I mean, I actually can slip through, but and if you ask them nicely, you can ask them, "Do you mind if I just slip past?" And they can move it to the side. And if you are thin enough, which. Currently, I just about am. Just about. You can slip past. Yeah. But you have to ask them. And they're normally not so happy about it. So you have to schmooze them up earlier on in the flight about it.
Meaning you say, in an hour's time, do you mind go through?
Not about it. Yeah.
Anyway, so they go past. And often if there's two aisles, they're together. It's annoying. They're kind of conquering the land together. So I once thought to invent a... To describe this on the podcast is quite difficult, but basically a pulley where it's a box that's connected by a lever to the top, and instead of it running across the ground, it goes across the ceiling, and they pull it down to get the food.
I see, you could duck under it.
You could duck under it, yeah. So much so, this was on the Seed Bar Mitzvah trip. I told someone who was sitting next to me, he's quite an innovative kind of entrepreneur type, and he got so excited and he went up to one of the stewards. He says, "If we invent this, would you buy it, etc." The steward flies to Israel. The steward says, "Sir, do you realize the only route that people constantly stand up in the aisles is the Israel route?" See, I didn't know this. Apparently normal etiquette is not to walk up and down aisles on an airplane.
That's very good.
Right. That's like, I've got to test you over here. We did the airplane stuff already, to be honest. But all right, let's come back. We're now on a holiday. I'm going to test you because the key to relationships is communication, and the key to communication with children is non-verbal communication.
Right.
If I can be so broad brush. So I'm going to test. Here are different intonations of the word daddy, and you're going to tell me what the kid means.
Right.
Right, you ready? Okay, well, we'll start with a relatively easy one. Daddy!
You're embarrassing me. Stop what you are doing immediately. My friends might be nearby, or other human beings that we're going to be embarrassed of are nearby.
I hear that. Daddy!
Did you bring the things that we need?
Nice. Daddy!
That's the response after you haven't stopped doing the embarrassing thing.
Right.
If they knew that at a certain point in your fatherhood, embarrassing your kids becomes more of a sport and a hobby than something you're trying to avoid, then I think it would change their response and reaction to it. Anyway,
The problem is they don't realise one day they're, please God, going to be parents, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think we... Maybe did and some don't present. And one day they'll, you know, embarrass their children as well.
Yeah, yeah. And it's actually quite a schuss, quite a merit, quite a opportunity. I'll find it eventually. Anyway, go
on. Right, we'll do one more. Daddy, daddy, daddy.
It's either you've forgotten all the stuff. It might be in between the. It might be the end of the embarrassing situation.
Nice.
But there is a daddy, which is a daddy, which is a. I've already asked mummy this, and now I'm coming to you because I think you'll be more lenient than her in this respect.
That's true. Yeah.
You're weak and
the play them off each other. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure if you realise I ran out of intonation of daddy, so I just mirrored the chauffeur notes. In daddies. Anyway, right, what do you have to say about patience on holiday?
Oh.
Not as in doctors.
The most important trait for a parent to have on holiday.
Go on.
Patience, I think, is... Because patience, I define as the ability to not act impulsively, which means that you've been wound up by something. You don't... Basically, to not say... that, to not be able to... To be able to point the... When somebody makes you crazy, yeah, they do something which is driving you absolutely up the wall. They're not, you know, the basic things that children do, the most basic kind of human things that they refuse to do in the morning, get up, wash your teeth, yeah, you know, brush your teeth, wash your hands, wash your face, put on your clothes, put on both shoes, have breakfast.
Yes.
Yeah, those seven basic things.
Yeah.
At least one is always a fight every morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
During the holiday as well.
During the holiday as well. Just it's kind of a little bit worse than the holiday actually, normally. But anyway, so normally you say they are driving me mad. So patience is, and you go, you might react to a certain situation of a kid not wanting to put on his shoes or not wanting to sit in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Or so patience is the ability to hold back from that.
I hear that.
And then choose your response.
I hear that.
Tactically, strategically.
You make it sound so easy. Do you think holidays are more difficult or less difficult in this regard? Are expectations for it to be relaxing higher? Or is it that since I'm so relaxed, I'm just less angry?
Well, it depends how structured. I mean, personally for us, I'm more relaxed generally. And because, again, that thing we had at the beginning, that you're investing credit and you're really... using the time to focus on the important things. If you get your perspective right, then I think that I personally find it easier. However, there are moments of, and this is, I think there's another element here, I think we'll probably talk about later at some point, which is that you have to know your technical setup is good as well. Meaning, I had a kid the other day who was coming in and literally screaming about everything. She came in and she was just upset about everything. And I actually had listened to my wife in one of her previous comments to me, and I realised that, you know what, let's make sure that she looked hot, and went and got a drink. Mm-hmm. And I gave her a drink, and I didn't even talk to her about it. And I gave her the drink, and she started drinking the drink. And within about 30 seconds, she had stopped all of her moaning and screaming.
Meaning
she was thirsty and hungry, and
all the other frustrations.
Yeah. You know, we do it when this is the best. We don't really accept it as an excuse for our kids to say to us, right? Yeah, meaning if they're hungry, but I know you're hungry, but you can't behave like this, right? However, anytime, they're tired, yeah? They can't say it, but anytime our kid misbehaves at someone else's house, we use it as a perfectly reasonable excuse. He's very tired at the moment. It's very funny. But for us, to be honest, for us as well, we understand if we're hungry, tired, thirsty, then our behaviour kind of disintegrates. So it's very true with the kids as well. So we've got to make sure that our technical setup is good.
I hear that. Nice work, technical setup. I saw a parent once, a kid was complaining to them, and would come back from school and complain to them, and then the parent just turned around to them and say, look, if you've had a bad day, just tell me you've had a bad day. Don't complain about everything else. Just tell me how bad it. That's all you're saying and you're complaining. I've had a bad day. Fine, you had a bad day. Just tell that.
Did that work?
Given it was me and one of my children, no. very good. Right, time with extended family. I know it sounds really spoiled, and anyone who A, can go on holiday, and B, has extended family is a blessing. But when you're on holiday, I'm assuming that credit is somewhat limited to your family. You want to spend time with your family. So what are your golden tips for
you know, when the cousins and the second cousins and they want to spend this day with you, this day, and suddenly you've got no holiday left.
I don't have any. I'm rubbish at it. I'm so rubbish at it. I just can't. I think the best thing to do probably, and we've done it in previous years, is to work out those days and make the most out of them.
You mean to say you can only visit on Tuesday the 9th?
Tuesday the 9th. And you've got it all planned out about what you're going to do. You work it out with them. You're organised about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is a rare thing for me. So they'll appreciate that. Yeah, for you, that's kind of like an assumption.
You limit it, basically.
Yeah, you limit it, but absolutely maximise it. Limit it, but maximise it.
Understand. You mean
that's what personally, that's what we do. But we're not. But I'm not very good at the balance. And family is so important. So it's difficult. It's a difficult one. I find it very challenging.
Okay, how important is food on holiday, right, Bazek?
Critical.
Go on.
Critical. It's very funny because basically, there's a classic mistake that every man must not make, which is go shopping when you're hungry.
No.
It's like a terrible, terrible mistake.
It's terrible on every level.
Yeah.
Emotional, economic.
Yeah, the economics of it. Just override everything.
That's caveman. That's again caveman.
Yeah.
I'm hungry.
I'm hungry. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you go into the shop. Yeah. And so the amount of food that I bring on holiday with us. Yeah. Is literally, I'm like bringing it home, and my wife has got like this look of just, what has he done? Yeah, and I've gone with the kids as well, so they're all excited about this absolute mass amount of food that I brought. And of course, we can't bring all this food with us because we're going away to wherever it was, Oxford, yeah? We can't bring it, it'll be like a carload. We'll have to bring a separate van for the food. Yeah. So, but when my wife and I talk about it, I always communicate it in the following way. I say, I don't want to be thinking at any point on holiday, one of two things. There's nothing to eat, or I have to ration. I hate that. We've only got four chocolate digestives left and we've got 3 days left. What are we going to do? Yeah, I can't do that. Yeah, if there's another pack in the cupboard, even if I only eat four chocolate digestives over the next 3 days, it doesn't make a difference. I know I've got another pack. Pasta masala, yeah. I think with regards to the technical setup, it's very important as well. The technical setup is a term that a Rebbetzin in Israel coined, called Rebbetzin Spetner, who is a parenting guru, who's a genius in terms of parenting. And I think it's critical that you're. It's a little bit Maslow's hierarchy of needs and stuff. Yeah. But if you have to make sure that you're you've technically set up that they're going to have the basic needs are sorted before you can invest love, and then you can't just assume that that is the expression of love. Though that's really important.
Right,
that's
the right.
What do you mean? I got you food.
Yeah. Anything that's expected ain't gonna.
Yeah.
Not gonna have it. Let me tell this quick anecdote back for you. Now I'm gonna ask you. You have time to think about your favourite food that you found on holiday. So the anecdote was like this. When I was a rabbi of a local shul, I decided that before one Rosh Hashanah, I was going to spend 2.5 weeks, 2 hours a day-ish, calling up every member of the shul, wishing them a good year before Rosh Hashanah. It's quite cool.
Yeah.
And it was a big, big, big ask, and it was a challenge, but I did it. And I got some hilarious responses, but not for now. Like one bloke picked up the phone and said, Rabbi, says, I can't believe it. I'm on holiday in France. I've just crashed my car, and now the rabbi calls.
I'm so sorry. I'll try not to do it when you just crash your car next time.
So I'll hand you over to insurance if you want. Yeah. Anyway, so I got loads of lovely feedback you'd expect. Now, the wardens, the gabbaim who set up the shul and everything, spent hours and hours and hours, they didn't get thanked majorly. Compared to me, right? So I kind of like delved into why that's so, and they did a fantastic job. The idea was very simple, expectation. Everyone expected the wardens to sort the service because that's what they do. Because no one expected me to call everyone up. Anyway, favourite holiday food? Something you've discovered, something you eat on holiday, go on, what is it?
There's always the joy of finding something in a Tesco in the middle of nowhere which has got, you know, a KLBD on it or something like that. That is joyful, but I don't know. But I've got another interesting story, which is that we were in Derbyshire. We're basically in North Wales. And we went...
Which is, okay, keep
yeah,
going.
Which is the top of Derbyshire, right. Basically. Yeah, but we went to North Wales, but then we walked up... we went on a hike, and a very funny story, because we didn't exactly know where the hike was, and then we got to the hike, we got to the bottom, we asked some locals, and they said, oh, this hike you want to do, yeah, that you go, there's, do you want to do the short, steep one, or the long, shallow one?
Nice.
Meaning there's two. So I've got kids.
Personality traits, to be
yeah,
honest.
I've got kids, so I went long and shallow, right?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we clearly got lost on the way to the beginning of the long, shallow one, because it was short and steep. Like, it was beyond. Yeah, it was beyond, you know? It was like really... And it was a really... It was actually a really hard hike, yeah? Mm-hmm. And I'm with a 7-year-old,
okay.
Yeah? But he was fine. He was zooming up it, yeah? But my wife and I were struggling quite greatly, actually. We got to the top, and it was absolutely in the clouds. It was so high. It was, like, cold up the top.
Wow.
Like, it was in a most amazing view. And we got up the top, and as I get up the top, my 7-year-old picks up a kosher bag of crisps wrapper. He's like, Jews have been here. I'm like, and littered. Brilliant.
We came, we saw, we conquered. Yeah,
we littered. Anyway, yeah, no. Right. So I don't know what my favorite. What's your favorite food story, man?
Briefly, I discovered when on holiday with 10 boys in Portugal as a 16-year-old, we had a kosher list, and we found some German produced kosher pita breads. Now, what was brilliantly Yakish and German about them is on the top they were perforated so that you would open it in the perfect you'd open it in like the perfect way without tearing the sausage in there.
Very good.
Right?
Very good.
Brilliant.
Very good.
Right, okay, join us on the next edition, and we're going to continue musing about holidays.
Listening to the Dadding Podcast. For more Shirim classes, experiences, adventures, and events at Seed, please check out our website or email our office.